Now our man from the Philadelphia Daily News, Mr. Les Bowen. Good morning, Les.
Good morning, fellas.
All right, Les, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot so far, but I'm hoping more will be good. Carson Wentz is going to talk to us later and stuff like that. That'll be good.
Now, Les, so one of the things that's come about with Carson, it looked like that was the most we've really seen him. We've seen him improvise since the injury. Mm-hmm. How good was it to see him kind of be able to manipulate the pocket a little bit, Yeah. Get on the same page as Golden Tate as well?
Yeah, it was very good. I thought that interception was really a terrible thing that he can't do this week against Dallas. And the kind of thing he didn't do last year when he didn't have any red zone interceptions. But by and large, the offense moved much better. It had better rhythm. It had better, like you said, he got out of the pocket a little bit, which is going to be important, I think, against teams that have a really good pass rush. You can't just stand back there. I think that's why they've had some of the problems they've had. He gets hit, he fumbles, he's trying to throw the ball. That's happened in almost every game up until the last few games. I think a lot of the things that the offense showed against Washington are things that they need to carry forward and can carry forward to these critical games ahead.
And what about just getting Golden Tate involved, period? Is this something that timing had to get down, better play calls? What do you attribute his success in the last game against the Redskins to?
I think they had to just get the offense going. They were trying to sort of force things to Golden Tate, and Golden Tate kept using words like organic, which meant, that his touches kind of came out of the flow of the game rather than, nothing else is working. Let's try to get the ball to Golden Tate. he got to show, I think things loosened up on him a little bit once so many other things were going well. And on that one play, unfortunately, it was the play right before the interception.
Yeah.
You got to see his that whole run after the catch thing, which was so important in his acquisition and that we haven't really seen, that he hasn't had a chance to show it. He caught what was going to be like a 9-yard pass, turned it down the sideline, broke a tackle, and ended up with a 32-yard gain, which is exactly the sort of thing the Eagles need to do.
Les, I kind of came away from this game for the first time this year feeling like there was something to look forward to with this offense, that it looks like they're about to turn a corner. Did you get that feel? And if so, what was the biggest thing about it, or what was the biggest thing that made you feel that way?
Yeah, I just think the offensive line is playing better.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're healthier. Guys like Lane Johnson and Jason Peters are not as hobbled as they were there for 3 or 4 games. And I think the unit kind of has its mojo back. They're running more inside, which is something a couple guys had mentioned to me when the run game was struggling, is that they were doing more outside zone than inside zone like they did last year. I just think they've got the offensive line is the key to everything. And I think it's performing better with again, like I said about the interception, with a notable exception of that fourth down play at the goal line where Lane Johnson blocked the wrong guy. And, and I keep bringing stuff like this up because I wrote a piece the other day that, this is the kind of stuff, even if the offense is doing better, you just can't do this. And you're looking ahead at what they've got with at Dallas, with at the Rams, with Houston coming here. These are going to be fatal mistakes if they keep making them, and there's no reason to keep making them. So, with that said, I think the offensive line is kind of back on its game more or less.
Also, speaking with Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News, when you look at the defensive side of things, Jim Schwartz, as we've all known for a long time, does not like to blitz. He likes to get his pressure from his front four. Trey would like to see a little bit more pressure here, maybe press coverage, maybe more blitzes. Any chance, after hearing him speak yesterday, that they actually do those things?
Yeah, I think it depends on the quarterback and the offense they're facing, really. I mean, he won't say that, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that if you blitz them, they're just going to kill you. They're really good at reading what's coming and they see, they see your movements and they can figure it out very quickly. I don't think Dak Prescott is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. He is hard. He is elusive, and he can escape and hurt you. But I do think you want to blitz Dak Prescott a little bit. Amari Cooper is, you know, he's totally changed their offense, but he's really the only guy back there that's going to hurt you. I mean, they can get the ball to Cole Beasley, but that doesn't usually, you know, that turn into 70 yards or anything. I think you can go after Dak Prescott pretty well. But the biggest thing with Dallas isn't going to be the blitz. It's going to be stopping Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. I still think even with the addition of Amari Cooper, it starts with Elliott. And you make Dak Prescott beat you, I think, is what you do when you play Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all going to be sitting back and hoping for, the fact that they could force him into a couple of mistakes here. The running back crew has seemed to finally figure itself out. Darren Sproles coming back obviously helps that. But Josh Adams and Corey Clement seem to have a nice thing going here for the past two games. What do you think about their development?
Yeah, that's a huge positive. You know, you look at ways that the game can be different than the game they played against Dallas before at the Link, which they lost 27-20. And that's one. I mean, I think the whole thing with Josh Adams has really developed over the last few games. He's gotten 20-plus carries. He's done a great job. He has that patience, that sort of hesitation that you look for from a guy that just doesn't plow into the, you know, the line blindly and take the first 2 yards. He looks for a cutback. I think that's really an excellent reason to hang your hat on for anybody who wants to know why this might be different from November 11th when they lost. And Clement, he's an interesting player. You know, I think if you give him a certain number of carries a game, like 5, 6, 7, 8 carries, you get really good results. And if you give him more than that, maybe you don't get as good results. I don't know. I can't quite explain it. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a guy that you sort of pull out of the hat in doses instead of really giving him the ball all the time. And he's kind of a counterpunch, I guess. And I think with Adams as the main guy, I think Clement fits very well into that sort of counterpunch role.
Les, do you think anything's going to change on the injury front this week? Do you expect some guys to be coming back?
Well, that's a critical question, Mark. I mean, we all know the guys that aren't coming back are Ronald Darby, Rodney McLeod, Jay Ajayi. You know, these are guys that Derek Barnett. These are huge pieces of the team, and, you know, they're not coming back. But Avante Maddox might be this week, and he really was playing well as a rookie. I think they probably put him in for Corey Graham at safety, and that, to me, is a substantial upgrade. Other than that, I'm not really sure. Like you said, they got Sproles back last week. I would expect him to get the ball a little more this week, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe be a little, you know, he was okay. I mean, he had a nice touchdown run with Jason Kelce snowplowing the Redskins linebacker Mason Foster. But, you know, I think we'll see more Sproles. I think we'll maybe see Avante Maddox back. And, you know, that might be a substantial help.
Last one for you, Les Bowen of the Philadelphia Daily News. Camus Grugier-Hill, I'm sure you've seen it, I'm sure you've heard it, decides to put a little bulletin board material in the locker room of the Dallas Cowboys. What'd you make of him saying that the Cowboys always choke and they're going to go down there and choke them out?
You know, I don't get it. I mean, I'd love to hear what Trey has to say about this. When I was covering Trey, I don't remember, you know, there were a lot of Dallas Eagles games. There are two every year. And I don't remember guys getting into this. The Eagles did this before the first game. There was a lot of talk about, you know, it's mostly TV people that ask these questions, trying to get, you know, some kind of soundbite. And I just don't remember Eagles players being willing to do this before and get into this about how they hate Dallas and all this. You know, I mean, to me, it's counterproductive. I don't really see the upside of this. Maybe he saw what DeMarcus Lawrence did with New Orleans, you know. But I don't know that Camus can deliver on this.
Exactly.
Camus playing with one hand, you know, he's a tough guy. He broke his hand in London, but you know, he's Camus Grugier Hill. He's not Fletcher Cox. And, you know, I don't get it. I really don't. He's a good guy and a good, and a, you know, solid, courageous player, but I don't see the need for that. I don't see why you do it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Les, because, I mean, Big Red always told us, like, look, let's do not give these guys any bulletin board material.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the way that sports is changing in 2018. I don't know, but I'm just surprised that a player feels he wants to do that.
Yeah, I think it is those TV guys, though, those bastards.
That's what it is. Those TV guys.
Hey, Les, always great talking to you, my man. We appreciate it. Always read Les Bowen on Twitter, of course, and also the Philadelphia Daily News, per usual, philly.com. Les, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, Mark. Take care, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.